Turn to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, we'll begin our reading at verse 13 as well. Proverbs 13, verse 13, reading through to the end of the chapter. Our text for tonight is taken from verse 24 of this part of our reading. Proverbs chapter 13, reading from verse 13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favour, but the way of transgressors is hard. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is held. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. He that regardeth reproof shall be honoured. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The righteous eateth for the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. Amen. Once again, we pray for God's blessing in the reading of his perfect and inspired word. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, smacking children, using the rod on children. What is that? Is that loving discipline? Or is that child abuse? UNESCO, the United Nations branch that supposedly promotes human rights and human freedoms, says that any corporal punishment of children is wrong and should be illegal. The Australian Psychological Society says that any form of smacking of children or any form of corporal punishment is ineffective, and in fact what it does is promote wrong behaviour. Not all that long ago, the United Nations Committee on the Rights of the Child actually made a recommendation directly to Australia that Australia should abolish the right of parents to use reasonable chastisement when disciplining children. Currently, worldwide, there are about 37 countries which have banned the smacking of children, declaring it to be morally wrong and therefore illegal. Where does the Christian stand? Where do we stand? What ought we to know? How should we think? Do we believe what modern psychology says, with all of the scientific research and so many highly trained professionals? Do we believe what so many nations, and these are developed nations in the world, do we believe what they are saying, that smacking or using the rod of your children is not only ineffective, but should be used, child abuse, it should be punished? As in all cases, what do? We turn to the Word of God. We must come to what God says in the Scriptures, to the God who made us, to the God who knows human beings, who knows who we are and what we need far better than any specialist psychologist or any nation of this world, to the perfect and infallible Word of God, which is never wrong and gives us beautiful and right principles for that right living before our God and our Saviour. And that brings us to, therefore, our text for the night, that verse 24 of the reading that we have had. He that spares his rod hates his son, but he that loves him chastens him betimes. What God says here is exceedingly plain, isn't it? It's very, very clear what God says here. There's no mistaking of it. God, who speaks all truth, says that if we love our children, then we will chastise them, and we will chastise them with the rod. A physical punishment. In fact, God, he never goes too far. God, who does not artificially exaggerate things, God says that parents who will not use the rod, in fact, they hate their children. They will do harm to their children. They will abuse their children if they do not use the rod. These 2 views, when you look at them, the world that's around about us and what God says in his word, they're poles apart, aren't they? They're miles apart. In fact, the reality is that they are opposites. They're in fact completely and utterly opposed to one another, these 2 views. And that's not unexpected. Whenever spiritual matters are involved, whenever matters that concern morality of what is right and wrong, matters that concern the heart and the soul, whenever matters like that are concerned, then what you will find is that the world will hate the truth and it will go in the opposite direction of the truth. The God of all truth. To the Word of God. The reason, therefore, that we have a polar opposite here is because there is a spiritual basis for this instruction of the use of the rod. That spiritual basis is based on who we are, who we have been created to be, who we have fallen into. But it's also based on the very way in which Jesus Christ applies his salvation to us in the way of sanctification. So we must be so very, very careful. We must be very, very careful with the whole of our mind and our understanding, not only on the one hand to reject the completely wrong understanding of the world, but also to meditate upon it and lay hold upon and take to heart to really understand for our own lives, for our own souls, what is told us here in this proverb, what God does say to us. With this in mind, let's consider our text under the theme, the timely chastening rod. We look at that in the preamble. First of all, its necessity. Secondly, the reason for the rod. Thirdly, its comfort. That may come as a bit of surprise. The timely chastening rod. The first thing to note about our text here is that God actually commands parents to use the rod with their children. Notice this is a command. Now when it says rod, that word is used in different ways in Scripture, the idea of the rod. It doesn't automatically mean that what you need to have in your house is a round wooden dowel, 1 meter in length, and then, you know, that's what you use and nothing else. No, that isn't necessarily what it means. But we also ought to understand this. It is definitely not just simply a kind of a metaphor for using stern words with children. It is definitely not that. We are called to use words with our children. We are called to use stern and plain words with our children. But we ought to understand from the Scripture that accompanies the rod. The Scripture very clearly actually separates out the words and the use of the rod. We'll see that in Proverbs 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but the child that is left to himself brings his mother to shame. So the idea of a rod, as you compare different parts of Scripture together, the idea of a rod is a physical force of some kind that is applied physically and that causes physical pain. So understanding of the role. Physical force of some kind that is applied physically to the person who causes a physical pain. Now we know that this here is not an option but a commandment, because it's not just that we put, as it were, all of our teaching on this one verse in Proverbs. It's found, in fact, in many places through Scripture. In Proverbs alone, for example, you can find it referred to a number of times. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. That's pretty significant, isn't it? Proverbs, remember, as we have been seeing, is a book of wisdom. It's God's wisdom. It's the wisdom of a father, Solomon, being given to his son. But it's far more than that. In the Scripture, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this is the wisdom of a heavenly Father given to every one of his children, his covenant children. Beautiful, practical wisdom of the truth of Jesus Christ applied very practically into our lives. So we ought to understand, as a father speaking to his children, whether you're talking about Solomon to his son, or whether our heavenly Father to us, there will be much practical application here with regards to the raising of our children. Therefore, what we find here is practical truth for us. We must apply the rod to our children. It's a necessity. To do so is to be loving, our text says. Literally, our text says that the one who loves his child will be diligently seeking to chastise with the rod, and will do so early. And we'll come to that in a little bit, just to delve into the understanding of that a little more. But, our text says, if you are withholding the rod for whatever reason it may be, then it's not just that you're not doing everything you could do for your child. God says, you hate your child. You hate your child. Strong words. Very strong words. Why? Why does God say this? Well, let's keep looking at what the Scripture tells us. Let's, as it were, take a little bit of a step back from this particular text, and let's look a little more generally about the understanding of what's going on here. For a start, we should see that in the Bible, God always sets himself forth as the Father, isn't he? He's the ultimate Father. He is the one that is all wise. He is the one that, as Father, is most perfectly loving. He is most wondrous in the whole way in which he deals with us as his adopted sons and daughters. And he is always wise and loving, and has a loving kindness towards his church in all ages. So that's clearly set forth in the Scriptures. So we ought to see that whenever God is dealing with his people as that loving heavenly Father, then he's setting forth a pattern for us. Our infinitely loving heavenly Father applies the rod to his people, and he does so often. We can find it right in the Scripture. That one of the clearest places to look is to look at the whole dealing of God with the nation of Israel. It's actually quite striking as you read through the Old Testament history of the church and God's dealings with them. Jehovah instructs his covenant people through his servant Moses. He says, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you will be a treasure to me above all people. Exodus 19:5. But, he says, if you will despise my statutes or break my covenant, I will even appoint over you terror and consumption and burning hay. Notice that. Okay. Physical force applied in a physical way to cause a physical pain. There's the rod. And that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies, and I will chastise you 7 times for your sins. Leviticus 26, coming out of 15 through 28. But God did not just say, this is what I'm going to do. That's exactly what he did do when you look through history. And he did it often. In the wilderness, that picture of his people passing through the whole of this life and coming to the promised land, the eternal Canaan. The picture of his people, what did he do? In the wilderness, he sent to them fiery serpents. He sent to them five times various plagues which came upon them in a most horrendous way, destroyed many of them, and brought much in the way of that physical chastisement against them. Move further on from the time of the wilderness and come to the time of the judges. In the time of the judges, time and time again, God sent enemies to chastise, to kill, to cause famine and sorrow, so that the people cried out to him and he delivered them. You come into the time of the kings and you find that the kings of the tribes and the 10 tribes, they turn away from him. What does he do? He sends much chastisement upon them. He sent his prophets, certainly, but he sent enemies to wound greatly before finally sending the reprobate into captivity. And even Judah themselves, and they went cold toward him. He then sends 7 years of captivity in Babylon. Notice that these chastisements, notice that God's wrath upon his people, upon his children, they're not light and gentle taps, are they? They're not just a, oh, you bad boy. They're nothing like that. The strokes of God's wrath were heavy and consistent with the seriousness of the sin involved. This is the wrath that God speaks about here, that we are called to wield as parents, as fathers, that are to see the whole understanding of Scripture flowing through in the way in which we are to represent the Lord, the authority of God as parents in the family life. We also see from our text here that the rod is to be used diligently. And that from the expression, it says, chasteneth him betimes. You see that? That he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That word betimes is a word that is very, very rich in meaning. As with so many of the Hebrew words, it's very pictorial, and therefore it's quite difficult to bring across its sort of full range of meaning that it has in just one English word. I think the King James Version translators have actually done a pretty good job of using this betimes. You can see, for example, that word used in other places of Scripture, like in Psalm 63, verse 1, where it says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek for thee, my soul thirsts for thee. So you can see what it's saying there is the psalmist is saying, I'm going to seek after you earnestly and early, quickly, diligently, eagerly. That's the idea. So that's the idea of this word. Quickly, early, earnestly, diligently. That's this word. So what God is telling us is that if we love our children, then we will seek to use the rod quickly, early, diligently, earnestly. What God is telling us is the use of the rod, it's not a last resort. You find that with some people who sort of, they will sort of say, oh, well, okay, yeah, the use of the rod is not, it's not absolutely outlawed, but it's the very last thing we go to. You know, as it were, if nothing else works, then finally you're going to go, oh, let me get the rod, you know, because nothing else is working. God says, No, you use the rod betimes. Early, quickly, diligently, earnestly. That's how the rod is actually to be used. There are many matters of discipline that don't require the rod at all. Okay, God did not. Every time Israel did something wrong, you know, sort of flagged, you know. No, not at all. No, there are many matters of discipline that do not require the rod. But there are many matters where the rod is to be used first. who's his rod of chastisement in the Old Testament. What are some examples of that? Well, two of the outstanding examples that are so very, very clear are the sins of rebellion and the sins of murmuring or complaining. Okay? Those two things. The sin of outright disobedience and the sin of murmuring, complaining, whinging. Those two aspects. When you look at those things in the Old Testament, God immediately sent out his plagues or his enemies. There was no warning. God did not say, I'm warning you, if you keep going on this, No second chance or third chance. As soon as they disobey, God's rod came in. As soon as they whinged, murmured, and complained, the plague was burning amongst them. Immediately. Without any hesitation whatsoever. So it ought to be with our children. This is God's pattern for us. In the case of such things as rebellion, when our children are actually told something, and they've understood, sometimes they don't, but understand, you need to understand with our children. We need to have care with them. That if they have clearly understood what they are supposed to be doing, and they say no, or they manifestly simply disobey and they go off and do their own thing, the rod should come down immediately. No hesitation, no counting. Oh, I'll count to three. It's the rod. As soon as there is whinging and complaining, once again, God makes clear that this is something that is unacceptable at any time. And the rod ought to come down immediately. No warnings. It is unacceptable for us to murmur and complain against God. But we also see from Scripture that the rod needs to be applied wisely and appropriately. It needs to always be applied with counsel. With counsel. Our children need to know and understand very, very clearly why they receive the rod when they get it. Now, that's going to vary, of course, with the age of the child. Okay? Sometimes it's very simple explanations, and as they get older, then you need to spend more time with them to explain these things and to bring the word of God to them. But the people of Israel, they always knew very, very clearly why God sent to them chastisement. And that's also the reason why in Proverbs 29:15, God puts the two things together. The rod and reproof give wisdom. The rod, together with the understanding why this is wrong, why this is against God, why this is a serious thing, and why the rod is needed to be applied here. The discipline of the rod also needs to be consistent. The rod is to be administered every single time for a particular sin or wrong. Do you understand the importance of that? Do we understand the importance of the consistency of this? You see, if we are those that are representing God in the way in which we discipline our children, the way in which we are showing forth the chastisement of our God, then if we do this inconsistently, that sometimes we're right on it, and sometimes we go, I couldn't be bothered, I'm just too tired, and I just let them. If we do that, then what we're saying to them is, God is arbitrary. God's just an arbitrary God. And his law, you can just leave it as a take it or leave it at, and it doesn't really matter. Our children grow up with an impression that, well, sometimes it matters to do wrong, and sometimes it doesn't matter to do wrong. In fact, give sin a go and see what happens. You might get away with it this time. It'll be okay. We actually teach and train our children when they're inconsistent to actually believe that sometimes sin will bring good things. Instead of learning the truth, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also grieve. Our children need to see that and know that from a very young age. If he so will, then it brings every single time consistently that which you will reap out of what you sow. Sin. Our children need to know. We need to remember. We need to know. We need to be reminded. Sin always brings sorrowful and painful consequences. It's not. Sometimes we can complain and disobey, and sometimes we cannot. Finally, we actually need to see in the necessity of the rod, the necessity to apply the rod with a force. Now, what I'm about to say here, in fact, completely and utterly contradicts everything the good Lord says. Even one of our recent prime ministers said that he believed that there was a place for spanking, but what he said was, it should never cause any hurt or pain to our children. That's not what God says. This is the primary thing that the psychologists and the children's rights protagonists actually have in mind. They say, to cause any significant pain or hurt to our children is an absolute no. That's the abuse. They say, don't do that. Never do that. If you have to do it, then do it in such a way that it's sort of big loud noise. It gives them a bit of scare. There's no physical pain. Listen to God's word. Hear God's word. Proverbs 19:18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Proverbs 23:13-14, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Most significantly, Proverbs 20:30, the blueness of a wound cleanses away evil, or if you like, translated in a different way, blows that wound, cleanse away evil. Blows that wound. It's the blows that cause pain, that cause hurt, that cleanse away evil. God does not make his chastisements little cats, something that causes us to get a bit of a scare. It's not the way God uses his chastisements, and neither should we. The force of the rod is to reflect the seriousness of the sin. It's necessary. God makes it very, very clear. There's a necessity to use the rod. But why? Why does the Bible tell us this? What's the reason that is set before us? We don't have something so very clear in our minds, as Christian covenant parents, as we apply the rod to our covenant children, that the rod is not for punishment. Now, you might suddenly go, oh, you know, you've just been saying that you need to match the sin with the, it's not for punishment? Yeah, find the truth of Scripture here. If we are God's covenant people and we are raising our children as being holy to the Lord, then what do we confess? We confess our hope is in our salvation in Jesus Christ. We confess that our children's hope lies in exactly the same place. What does that mean? What is the implication for that as we actually raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? It means that we confess our sins and we trust in Christ's perfect payment on the cross as the punishment for sin. And our joy is having Christ's righteousness and being reconciled to God, that my punishment has been taken away in Christ. And that means that there is no more punishment due to me for my sins. What's God doing? What's the Lord Jesus Christ doing when he sends afflictions upon me? He's not me. So often Christians get that mixed up in their minds and it causes so much distress. God is not punishing any of his people for their sins. He chastises them with a love and a loving kindness and mercy. Now that means that when God requires us to apply the rod to our children, it is not to bring the punishment due for their sin. We're not punishing them for their rebellion, for their whinging and complaining. We're not punishing them. So what is the reason? It's for their correction and instruction in righteousness. You see, the natural and perverted bent of our minds and souls is to think that in some way, sin, rebellion, doing things that are wrong, are going to bring us good things. That's the natural bent of our mind. That's what happened with Adam and Eve. Remember, they were created in perfect relationship to God with a beautiful harmony, wonderful communion, and the temptation of Satan was, you're going to get something extra by disobeying God. By turning away from him, you are going to be as God. You're going to get more. That's the hope of the little child who sits in the shopping trolley in the supermarket and says, I want the chocolate. And mom says, no. And he goes, ah! Okay? Screams the voice down because he hopes by his rebellion and by him, you know, doing that against mum, he's going to get the chocolate. What happens if you give it to him? But we have the foolishness to think the same thing. We have the foolishness that somehow our sin, our anger against things, our selfishness, our saying, well, I'm not going to do that, is somehow actually going to bring him back. Nothing could be further from the truth. We know that. As we speak these things, we know that. But you see, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod is employed to teach, to instruct very, very carefully the sins of particularly rebellion, murmuring against God, to actually teach. Those things bring what? Sorrow and pain. You're correcting the wrong bent of the mind. You're correcting that wrongness and instructing. No, this is the truth of God's word. Rebellion, whinging, murmuring, complaining, what do they bring? Sorrow, pain. Same time, instruction is given that points in the right direction to actually confess, you know, the wrongness of the heart and the disobedience, and instead to have an obedience and a humble service and thankfulness to God and walking in His way, to point to the fact that there is forgiveness for such sins. It's found in Christ alone. His strength is then the strength for walking in good and right. You understand then that the use of the rod is actually love. It's love. It's a kindness. The use of the rod brings the truth of the gospel. That's what it's bringing. It's bringing the truth that sin and foolishness brings pain and sorrow and death. But turning to the Lord, confessing our sin, trusting in Christ, and walking in His ways brings peace and the true joy. Therefore, this is what Proverbs says again and again. Foolishness is in the heart of the child, and it's going to be driven away by the rod. The rod will deliver the child's soul from hell. The rod is for the one without understanding in order to bring understanding to him through the rod. Do you understand? It's talking about you use the rod to bring the truth of the gospel to our children. And that is loving. That's merciful. That's kindness. God does the same for us. And that's found all through the scripture too. Psalm 94 verse 12. Blessed is the man who now chasteneth, O Lord, and teaches him out of thy law. Notice that? Puts together chastening and teaching. Okay, God chastens us. He brings affliction and so teaches us the wonderful truth of the gospel. Psalm 89, verses 30 to 33. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. 2 Samuel 7, verses 14 and 15. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men, but my mercy shall not depart away from him. Wonderfully, the rod is given to us for correction. But that brings us to the second main reason, which is love. God's love, God's mercy. Our text says, if you neglect, if you withhold the rod, it's to hate the child, but to apply the rod carefully and diligently, early, is to love them. God applies the rod to his people in love. Because he loves his people. Remember, love is not a mushy feeling. Okay? Yes, feeling will come into love. But what is love primarily in Scripture? Love is a decision to delight in and therefore to do good and to seek fellowship with someone. God loves his people. He delights in them, and therefore he will do nothing but good towards us, and that includes dealing firmly and faithfully with us, with the rod of affliction, with the chastisements that he sends into our life. We then honor God and we love God and we show the love of God when we reflect that perfect love, dealing firmly and consistently with our children in discipline. In fact, you know what? It's when we're being selfish that we don't discipline with God. It's when we are being selfish that we don't firmly and properly discipline. It's because we couldn't be bothered with the hard labor. You see, it's a whole lot easier just simply to put up with that child whinging in the corner. You sort of just, you know, put a deaf ear to them. And it goes on and on and on and on until finally it's like, oh! You know, grab the rod. Whack! That made me feel better. Right? That's pure selfishness. That has nothing to do with the love and care. To love our children does not mean to occasionally flare up in anger and hatred and lose it. It means to do the hard work, the loving toil of applying the rod and reproof with a love and a care and a consistency and the gospel. Day in, day out. When we neglect the rod, what we're doing is being cruel to our children and we show them hatred. To be merciful, to be loving, is to consistently bring home to them the truth of God's word and the gospel applied with the rod in an appropriate and beautiful and right way. When we love, then it will be love that administers the rod and it will be love that guides the rod. If we're loving our children consistently, then it will be a thoughtful care of them which will make the decision as to when the rod will be used. Love will determine to use the rod lovingly, with a care, not with an anger. It ought never to be that it's because we're stirred up in anger in our heart that we pick up that rod. If that's the case, put it back down again. It needs to be with a love that we pick up that rod. It will be love which will come before the application of the rod, it will come after the application of the rod, and it will come in the words that we use to speak to our children in the administration of it. That's exactly the way our Heavenly Father deals with us. Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction, for whom the Lord loveth, he corrects. Even as a father, the son in whom he delights. That's then quoted in Hebrews, which we read earlier. In fact, in Hebrews 12, where we read that, it tells us that if we receive that chastening and scourging from the Lord, then we know he's dealing with us as genuine sons. And what's his purpose? It tells us there, his purpose is for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. And therefore, the timely use of the chastening rod brings a comfort. Let's look at that in the third place. The comfort of the rod. We're not necessarily scared by that, do we? I can pretty well say to you confidently, if I was to go around and take poll of the children in this congregation, children, are you listening? Okay? If I was to take a bit of a poll and go around and ask you children, and say to you, okay, that rod, you know, whatever it is that mum and dad use, a wooden spoon or whatever else, that rod that's at home, sitting up, you know, on top of the fridge or wherever it is on the cupboard, and when dad has to go and get it and he's going to use it, is that really comforting for you? I don't see too many nods. Not a comfort for the soul. Yep, not too many positive responses. No, I'm not surprised about that. Have you considered Psalm 23? Psalm 23 and verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why will the psalmist have no fear? First of all, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. But it's even more than that. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Isn't that amazing? The same word. Okay, same word that we have here in Proverbs. It's exactly the same word there in Psalm 23. Rod. Your rod, and it comes first. Okay, it doesn't start first and then rod. It's rod first, then staff. Everything is significant in the Word of God. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod is a comfort. It's a comfort. You know, I reckon the kids would be scratching their heads and going, "I can't understand that one." All right? The rod is a comfort. It's a comfort to our children, and it's a comfort to us as we come to know the blessing of it, as we actually come to know the incredible blessing of our God through the rod, as we appreciate the chastisement of our Father. You see, it's a comfort because God is loving and faithful, and He uses the rod to deliver us from sin. He teaches us through the rod that we are sinful. And that sin is like the leprosy we were looking at this morning, which leads us into the rotting of us and a living death and carries us down into hell. Isn't it a comfort to be delivered from hell? The rod that delivers our children's soul from hell. If I know that my parents were faithful to me and they administered that rod, and that through that God was pleased to deliver my soul from hell. When I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, where Satan comes with all of his temptations to tempt me, to take me aside, and I'm heading away in my sin, and God brings his wrong, his affliction, his chastisement, to bring me into the right place, to guide me with reproof. That's the idea of the staff, to guide. What a comfort. No matter where I am, and no matter what I go through, God will be there with the rod and staff to lead me in his way, to prevent me from falling into destruction. What a blessing is the rod. The rod teaches us the faithfulness of God towards us. And therefore we come to rejoice in Him. That's what we're saying in Psalm 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. What a wonderful comfort that God says His affliction, so I am brought back to the beautiful truth of His word. Psalm 116, the Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low by God, and He helped me. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. God's rod of chastisement, which he applies to every one of his people, is a reflection. Well, the rod that the parents hold is a reflection of that wonderful faithfulness of God. And that's the reason why it's come. Even though, kids, it may seem that Dad coming with the rod is the valley of the shadow of death, alright? It's not actually the case. We pass through those things. Dad, Mum, faithfully applying the rod is a beautiful blessing. A wonderful comfort to the souls. The properly applied rod of discipline in the hands of parents, and especially in the hand of God, it directs us to Christ. Do you know, there's something very beautiful about that. And we ought to remind ourselves whenever we are going through affliction. We ought to remind our children of these things too when we apply discipline to them. Remind yourself when you are going through the afflictions that God has brought upon you, when there are things that are painful in life, things where we are tempted to say, Lord, why? Why have you brought this very painful and sorrowful thing upon me? Where are you at that point in time? You are in the everlasting arms. You are there with the eternal loving kindness of God being applied to you, even through that hard thing. Where are you not? You're not in hell. Why are you not in hell? It's because your Savior was sent to hell for you. You suffer the fatherly, loving, chastising rod because the Father sent his own Son to suffer hell for you, so that you never will receive that eternal and infinite hell that Christ suffered on your behalf. He, it tells us in the Word of God, gave his back to the smiters, and it's with his stripes that we are healed. Do you see that? So every part of the rod of the affliction that comes to us in life is in fact the wonderful, merciful hand of God on us that is drawing us more and more into the love of Christ and of our God. We stand under the perfect and loving care of the Heavenly Father. He applies the rod of correction, and in so doing, he applies love and mercy and kindness and grace with that rod every day. Praise and glory be to God for the properly, lovingly applied rod. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Now, dear Heavenly Father, we do so thank you that we may call you Father in everything that that means, and that you are a faithful God unto us, faithfully bringing to us the grace and the knowledge of Christ, but also faithfully dealing with us as with sons, so that you care for us with the properly and lovingly administered rod for our lives. And so we pray that you may continue to do that, that we may know of the comfort of your rod and your staff, that you are with us in that very way. We pray, therefore, build us up as parents, Lord, as we are those who are bringing up children, as we are encouraging those around about us to bring up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that in that very way we may reflect the beauty of the gospel and of all the ways in which you care for your people with a lovingly applied rod and the beauty of the truth of the gospel coming with it and through it. Hear our prayers, we pray in Christ's name.